views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
And this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and thanks for joining us. You know, it's interesting because I have heard that sometimes our greatest adversity becomes the most powerful way we learn lessons, and sometimes puts us on paths that we never anticipated. Those who have listened to this show on a regular basis know that while not proud of it, I have certainly made some choices in life that created some interesting consequences. And I often say and end the show with the statement that every choice we make has a consequence. And sometimes it isn't that the choice we make is bad. It's just that life throws us a curve. And sometimes that curve puts us on a different path of awakening and a journey that takes us places we never anticipated. My guest today is a gentleman by the name of Danny White. Now, interestingly enough, this show is being broadcast out of Greenville, South Carolina, and Danny was born and raised in Taylor, South Carolina, which is, for as far as I'm concerned, the suburb of Greenville. To me, everything is a suburb of Greenville here. And he attended the Citadel, on a Navy ROTC and had a Marine option scholarship. Danny is a retired Marine and has a fascinating story. And Danny, I really am pleased to have you join us here on Straight Talk Radio.
Thank you, Chuck. It's a pleasure to join you and your audience, and I'm grateful for this opportunity.
You know, Danny, I guess probably the easiest thing to do is because I have an idea kind of where this story is going to go. But before we get into the real meat of the story, give us a little background on Danny White.
Okay. Again, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate this opportunity. As you mentioned, I was born just around the corner, so to speak. Taylor's is a suburb of Greenville, South Carolina. And grateful for my heritage. Grew up in a rural area of South Carolina, and then, as you'd mentioned, was selected to go to the Citadel on a Navy Marine Corps scholarship. Had some, you know, good influences in my life with some teachers that invested in me and kind of started me on my leadership journey, if you would. Going to the military college, you pick up quite a bit, sometimes what not to do. And I had a mentor challenge me right before, right around the time I was commissioned into the Marine Corps. Danny, pay attention to every leader you serve with. You can learn as much from the good ones as you can from the bad ones. And take notes. And off and on, I took notes, but was not as serious about it as we'll get to in the meat of the conversation. But met my high school sweetheart, Jenny Shaw, at a voice competition at Anderson University. Then it called Anderson College. I'm not sure what I was doing there, but she knew what she was doing in singing. And we got married Valentine's Day of 92, and then were assigned to Okinawa, Japan. And we had a couple of babies while we were over there, and things started well in the Marine Corps for me.
Wow, that's a bit of a transformation going from Anderson, South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, to Okinawa, Japan. I suppose that is part of the territory for a Marine, and I guess when you marry one, what you sign up for, which is to see the world.
That's exactly right. That's a good assessment. There's, as I have jokingly said, there's a lot of fine print underneath that line where you sign up that, okay, yes, I'll be a Marine. I'm not sure that Jenny knew everything she was signing up for, but I was definitely grateful for her accompanying me and going overseas and being away from family. And, yeah, obviously the challenges go with that. But I think it all along the way, it helped strengthen our marriage as well, and some good lessons learned as a newlywed couple.
Now, before we move past the newlywed couple, you made a statement that you were taught and challenged, I guess, from your mentor to pay attention to the leaders because you can learn as much from the good ones as perhaps from the bad ones. Tell me a little more about what that means to you.
Okay. That's a great question. What he was specifically, I think, advising me, and I'll be quite honest to share with your audience. I'm a very practical kind of a shoe leather kind of guy. I'm not very theoretical. And so, for example, he said, when you're a lieutenant and you're in charge of your platoon, you're going to be reporting to a company commander who typically has three platoons underneath him or her. Watch your company commander. He or she will make decisions. You may not like the decisions, but if it's one that just doesn't seem right, pay attention to it. So when you're the company commander, you can have learned from that. You'll know, okay, wow, they did it this way. I don't think that was the right way to do it. I'm going to do it this way. And again, taking notes because you're not going to remember everything. I think that was probably the very valuable part of the advice that he had given me.
So, okay, Danny, I get that. That does make a lot of sense. I guess the same impact really is in business as well as it is in the military. It's all a form of business in some form or fashion anyway. You can watch the people who make the great choices and also watch the ones who make choices that you think, boy, that stunk, and know what not to do in the future. That a fair assessment?
I would totally agree with your That's a very fair assessment. I totally would agree that it carries right over, I think, into any industry or line of work. It's not just unique to the military. That's obviously the lens that I've viewed the world through from most of my adult life. But would totally agree that I think anyone in our audience could pay attention to the leaders that they're serving under and ways to improve themselves as a leader to watch. I think a lot of times I saw this that leaders were thrown kind of into the deep end of the swimming pool and maybe not much guidance. And so if that's the case for you, you could start your own leadership course, if you would, of just watching and observing and then taking those notes. And oftentimes as I became more senior, there's information that you're not aware of. The company commander may have talked to the leader above him, and I wasn't privy to that information, you know, as a lowly lieutenant. So it is one of those you take with a bit of a grain of salt, but you know, oftentimes it was just could not understand why did they make this decision that way? Well, I know if it's my turn, I'm going to remember this time and I certainly don't want to do it that way. It doesn't make sense.
Now, I guess for the people that are listening, the question might be, well, gosh, is this a show about leadership? Where are we going with this? And so let's get to the meat of the matter, because where your story takes an interesting and unique twist is apparently you were transferred back to Bridgeport, California, and then transferred yet again to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And tell us about the transfers, not so much about what caused the transfer, but back in 97, 5 years or so after you and your wife were married, tell us about that trip.
Okay. We had moved, reassigned from, as you mentioned, from Okinawa, Japan to Bridgeport, California. I saw success there. I picked up finally a captain in the Marine Corps and then was selected to go to school at the Army Engineer School at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I always joke and wonder why the Army let us Marines come to their school, but it was a real feather in your cap to be able to attend that school and become a better leader and a better combat engineer officer. In the process of that move, December 14th was a specific day I had left. We packed everything up, and kind of the professional gypsies that we are in the military. And we were in the process of doing a pack of our stuff in California. We would meet it in Fort Leonard Wood and then unpack in a home and then go to South Carolina. Jenny and I were both from the Greenville area. And then after Christmas, we would return to Fort Leonard Wood, where I would start school in January of 98. And so it was during this move, it was a Sunday morning. We'd gotten up from the hotel. I'd played with the children in the pool that night. We'd ordered pizza and Jenny done some laundry. And our plan was to make it to Albuquerque, New Mexico that day. About 55 minutes or so into the trip, we were talking via walkie-talkies. And I looked at my rear view. I looked down at my clock on my truck. I was in the lead vehicle. And Jenny was, I was in a red GMC Jimmy. And Jenny was driving our 94 Ford Explorer. And I looked up and saw the most horrific thing in my rearview mirror. I saw my wife's vehicle flipping like a corkscrew down Interstate 40 eastbound. And I whipped off to the side of the road. And I remember praying. I was like, wow, I hope it was just a bad accident, God. And my wife and children are okay. I didn't know where the next exit was. So I probably foolishly turned and drove the wrong way. I'm going westbound on I-40 east. And even to this day, you can go and look at the map programs out there. There's no exit within about 10 miles of mile marker 31.9. So I got back to the accident scene. Our daughter, 3-year-old daughter, Hannah, was with me. I asked her to stay in my truck. I went back to the vehicle and I heard Ethan crying. And so I took some relief. Ethan was 9 months old, that things were okay. And I pulled him out. I reckon training kicked in. And I checked in. I didn't see anything seemingly wrong with him. He calmed down and I looked in the vehicle and I couldn't find my son Danny, and I really panicked. I'm like, God, please don't let this vehicle roll over my son. I scanned the interstate. I looked in the median. I couldn't find him. And then I called out to Jenny, Jenny, but no answer. So I walked around to the driver's side of the vehicle, and the window had been broken out, and I reached in and touched her neck to see if she had a pulse. And I couldn't feel a pulse, and my world shattered at that point because I was on my way to school at 8:55, and at 8:56, it all changed. Certainly not what I had expected. I was now a single parent. And then we found Danny, a highway patrolman. They finally arrived, flew out some life flight helicopters, and an off-duty nurse was helping, and they were reviving him. He'd been ejected from the vehicle. And I talked to the highway patrolman. The EMT experts wanted to look at our son, Ethan, and make sure there were no internal injuries. And so we were going to run the ambulance to the emergency room, Hannah, Ethan, and I. And as I stepped into the ambulance, I asked the highway patrolman, hoping that my training had not been correct and I had not felt the pulse correctly. I said, sir, is my wife dead? And he said, yes, sir, she is. And I'd really panicked also because Jenny was carrying our fourth baby. She was pregnant with our fourth child and had nothing I could do. The most helpless feeling I've ever had, because I knew I could not help that 5-month-old baby in her body to survive. It was going to die.
Danny.
But the highway patrolman told me, yes, sir.
With that said, we're coming up on a break. This is a tremendous story. And I hate to stop at this point, but this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Danny White, and he has just shared with us the horrific story of the loss of his wife, son, and unborn baby. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and this is probably one of the most sobering interviews that I've had in a while, yet I know the outcome of this is incredible. You'll want to stick with us. My guest is Danny White. He is a retired Marine and has just been sharing with us the incredible story of what happened whenever he and his wife and children were traveling back for a reassignment. Danny, the last you had shared with us was the helicopter was there, the highway patrol was there to transport your wife, unborn child, and another child to a hospital, and you had been told that your wife did not survive. pick the story up from there.
Okay. Thank you. That is correct. She passed away instantly. And so I'm not sure, again, if they used the life flight helicopter for our five-year-old son, Danny, or just took him by an ambulance. But the highway patrolman reassured me, as Hannah, our three-year-old daughter, and Ethan, our nine-month-old son, and I were going in an ambulance to the emergency room for Ethan to be checked to see if there were any internal injuries. He said, "Sir, I've never lost a child in an accident, and we won't lose your son." And I hung on to that for what seemed like an eternity of a ride, the length of the ride to the emergency room. We got there. Some ladies from crisis intervention had been notified, apparently, and they came to assist me with Hannah while they looked at Ethan. Fortunately, nothing was wrong. There were no internal injuries from the x-rays that they did. And then the hospital very kindly let me use their phone because that was before the day of common cell phones.
Right.
And so I was trying to reach family to let them know, with the time difference, we were mountain time and they're on the East Coast time. And with a Sunday, they were all at church. And so I tried to let the Marine Corps know, what do I do, guys? I've never had this happen. And finally reached California, where I had just detached and was leaving. And then I let the Marine Detachment Fort Leonard Wood know. And basically they said, look, stay there. We will help give you guidance in which way to go. And so I made a few more phone calls, and then I looked up, and it was the doctor who had been helping work with my son, Danny. And she said, "Sir, I'm sorry, we lost your son." And I hit rock bottom. I felt like a drowning man as I walked, pushed through those two double doors, and I saw my five-year-old son's body laying on a stainless steel table. And I just broke. I held his body and just cried out. Didn't really care who saw me at that point. I'd been a very proud Marine. There wasn't a lot you could do for me, but I was helpless, and there was nothing I could do for myself. And I just prayed and cried out for help. And then after a few moments, I went back to making more phone calls, finally reached family. Obviously, a bombshell of tragedy to drop on Jenny's family and my family as well. And then a few more phone calls, and then the Marine Corps said, "We'll just go ahead and get a hotel room, and we'll work out something in the next couple of days." And so the ladies from crisis intervention went to the hotel with me, and we got checked in. And now what do I do? You know, it's 12 hours later, and I'm now an instant single parent to a three-year-old daughter and a nine-month-old son.
Danny,
what do you do, Danny?
In that circumstance, Danny, I think anybody that's listening would ask that question: what do you do? And how did you deal with your two surviving children? What did you say to them? How were you able to be there for them in the face of such a tragic loss?
One of the nurses that had been actually at the accident scene, she looked me in the eye and she said, "Sir, you need to be strong for your children." I said, "Okay, I can try to do that to the best of my ability." At the same time, I dreaded, Hannah was a very smart little three-year-old girl, and I knew she was going to ask, "Where's Mommy and Danny?" And she did. And of course, I started crying and she starts crying. She's not sure. She's never really hasn't seen Daddy cry before. And I tried to explain to her. I said, "Well, they're in heaven, sweetie. We won't see them again." And Ethan was 9 months. He just wanted a bottle. But I've often wondered, I mean, what was going through their minds to realize that, you know, their mom, their brother, the excitement of having another baby, they're not with us anymore. And, you know, it was one of those that, I turned to my faith, and some friends gave me some good advice in that area for how to deal with it, because probably one of the first lessons learned was we're not big enough to handle what life throws us by ourselves. We're not big enough by ourselves, to clarify. We need a sense of community, and that was one of the first humbling lessons that I learned, is I needed people's help. People were more than willing to help, but I had to ask for it. Because most have never experienced this. I certainly hadn't. I lived almost a fairy tale storybook life. Never really, you know, had some grandparents pass away, but it was expected. You know, nothing sudden where your life and heart's just ripped apart like this. But having community, I would encourage people. You know, if you're trying to play the Lone Ranger, don't do that. Find a sense of community. Find someone you can trust that you can talk to and share what's going on and truly share, not just the facade, everything's good. I'm wrestling in this area.
You know, Danny, today you talk about lessons learned as a leader of Marines, but you also talk about lessons learned as a husband and father and lessons learned during adversity. And if there has ever been a story of tragedy and adversity, not that you're the only person that's experienced it, but it certainly brings home the dark night of the soul that people can feel at circumstances that are highly unexpected. So from that moment, carry us forward a bit. Let's move forward a bit in time and talk about some of the lessons learned during adversity. And you mentioned the first one, which is finding that community. But what else?
Mm-hmm. Well, one I would like to share is, and it may sound like it's a Marine thing, but it's a leadership and it's also an adversity. So if I can kind of roll those together, I'm sitting in that hotel room wondering what's going to happen. The Marine Corps was only life I knew, but I didn't know it without Jenny. And so what will happen? And the phone rings in the hotel room, and I answer it as you're taught to. Hello, it's Captain White. May I help you? And the voice on the other end said, do you know who this is? And instantly I recognized it was the Commandant of the Marine Corps, a four-star general who is the head of the Marine Corps. And I am stunned. How did he get my number? First, I'm wanting to ask. I learned later how that process happened when the horrific events were. I called back to California. The Marine Corps unit there, let the Commandant staff know what had happened, that this had happened. And he took time on a Sunday afternoon, busy as he could be, for a 4 or 5 minute phone call to see how one of the hurting Marines was doing. And the phone call continued. Yes, sir, I know you're the Commandant of the Marine Corps. I'd heard him speak at Marine Corps birthday ball videos that they would show. My wife and I are so sorry for what's happened in your life. We'll be praying for you. Do you have any needs right now? No, sir, I don't know. Will you promise me that you'll let us know once you identify those needs? Yes, sir, I will. He explained, you know, we're not mind readers, but we want to help you. And then he said, you take as long as you need for making these decisions. I said, okay, sir. And, you know, we hung up. May not seem like much to many people, but it was really a lifeline of hope that was thrown to me on that day when my life was turned upside down. And I'll never forget it. One, I saw positive leadership in action. It made all the difference, you know, for me as now a single parent and as a Marine. And that he took time. In essence, he freed himself from the burden of busyness, because I know oftentimes I've been guilty of my to-do list. But he was focused on leading and relationships and hearing how, you know, one of his Marines going through a tough day was doing. And so in turn, it was back to that kind of a community. You know, I wasn't by myself. I had the Marine Corps, you know, to help me. I had a leader who cared and demonstrated that care with a phone call. And it wasn't just the phone call. It just wasn't words. Initially, I thought, well, he's just being nice. No. His actions matched his words. And the Marine Corps basically helped me every way I needed, from the trying to coordinate what they could help pay for the funerals by law, because there's only certain things they can cover. And then put me in touch with folks that could help defray those costs. In my infinite wisdom, I was going to be the one to die, so the life insurance was all on me. And I'm stunned to find out I owe $20,000 in funeral bills. But kind and gracious people, generous people, helped me with those costs. And there again, a community. People helped me rather than me trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to come up with this money by myself?
And then so, with that, we'll take a break. You know, I'm listening to the end of this, and I know we're pushing break time, but the ability for one person to reach out and to talk to another at a time like this can be something that's tremendous. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Danny White. We have been listening to his story and learning, and will learn, lessons in leadership. Stick with us. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Danny White. Danny has been sharing with us an experience that I think probably for him was his dark night of the soul. And yet from that, there are immediate lessons that come out. The loss of his wife, child, unborn child, something that you witnessed in your rearview mirrors has to be unexplainable. And yet, in the midst of this, you find an unexpected person, a four-star general, calling you to talk to you and find out what they can do to help. And not that he was the solution to your problems, but he was available to be there. And I know in my life, when that dark night of the soul arose, somehow, somewhere, there were the what I call unexpected angels that would appear. And if nothing else, just offer a bit of a lifeline, a bit of hope. And I know, Danny, you talk about lessons learned during adversity, not going solo, having community, focusing on one day at a time and asking for help. But once you were in the midst of that process, what happened following?
Well, as I mentioned, before the break, the commandant put action into his not just words but in actions. Honestly, I expected Chuck to get my pink slip from the Marine Corps because I was was considered a combat arms officer. There's a few of the jobs in the military that, you know, there's a lot of high deployment rates, and I felt that, okay, I'm probably going to be asked to resign my commission. So I was talking to, you know, my Citadel classmates. They assured me, hey, if you need a job, we'll help you. So there again, you know, asking for the help, being humble enough to do that. But two of my mentors in the Marine Corps went to the assignments branch and asked, hey, can Danny White stay in? And I was shocked to find out they said yes. And in fact, if his request is at all reasonable, he can pick his next assignment. Now, I've spoken to several military audiences before, and they're flabbergasted because you never get to pick. You get a piece of paper that tells you where to go, when to be there, what you're going to do.
Right.
And yet I'm being allowed to pick. Now, they said, don't try to be the aide to the president, you know, the Marine aide to the president. That won't work. And so I'm like, well, I was going to go to Fort Leonard Wood, so let's put that on the options, Quantico, Virginia, and Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Thought that as a single parent, if I had to deploy, my mom and dad could get there to help me. They're living in the, you know, Taylor's Greenville, South Carolina area. So I went and visited each place, and I felt like Fort Leonard was where I needed to go. Initially, I wanted to go to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, closest to my family, closest to Jenny's parents and family. But I'm like, no, I'm feeling like I need to go to Fort Leonard Wood. And so I called the good friend of mine. He actually was the one who was going to give me my orders. And I said, I need to go to Fort Leonard Wood. He said, are you sure? He said, I'll let you wait and stay until go to the July course. I was asking to go to the April of 98 course. I said, no, I'm afraid about it, and I need to go now. And so he said, okay, you'll have orders in about a week. And so, again, back to General Krulak's phone call. They had actually rerouted all my stuff, you know, from Missouri to send it to South Carolina so that I could get clothing and items for the children. That was an expense they took on to help me because everything that we had planned to live on for 2 weeks and that had been destroyed in the accident. So I didn't have any, you know, thing for the children, but they helped me in that regard. So we have everything packed up. I'm going to go to Fort Leonard Wood, go to school, and then I would be assigned as the Marine representative at the Army Engineer School. And it was, so it would be disability for the children and me. And again, I must hasten through the story, but I ended up meeting an Army chaplain's daughter, and she was looking for work. And so she became the nanny to my children. And I, again, after much prayer, felt like, okay, she's the one for starting chapter two of life with marriage. And so I asked her parents' permission to court her, and it was a busy time. My heart goes out to single parents, having walked that road with going to school, working, if you would, trying to take care of children, keep up a house, et cetera, and a lot of drain on me. But I met Nora Carlson, and we got married, then I became an instructor there at Fort Leonard Wood. And she had a love for Hannah and Ethan and eventually adopted them as her own. And I'm very grateful for Nora. And we had a Sound of Music, if you would, because I was the widower and I married the nanny. And Fort Leonard was quite excited about having a Sound of Music story in 1998.
You know, I have to say, being involved in this show is sobering at one level, and on the other level, it is... it brings a smile to your face whenever you say it's a Sound of Music story. I remember my mom taking me to that movie many, many years ago, and I can still sing most of the songs today. So I can kind of appreciate the idea of the military man marrying the nanny. And if your wife is anything like Julie Andrews in the movie, man, you lucked out.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I married up. No disrespect to my parents. I just know me.
Well, I married up too, so that's two of us in the same boat. So let's, Danny, obviously the story is now taking a slightly different twist, and I think it's moving in a perhaps more positive direction. So you talk about not only lessons learned during adversity, but lessons learned as a husband and father. So let's talk a little bit about that. Now that you're newly married and your children have a new mom, but yet it's still a blended family.
Yes, that was a challenge that I certainly wasn't prepared for. I don't doubt the timing of marrying Nora. What I wish I had was about fast forward 15 years where the lessons learned as I was about to retire, my last 3 or 4 years in the military. We were blessed with four children. We had a little girl, Lydia, over at Fort Leonard Wood. I went to Okinawa a second time for me, first time for Nora. I was there for 3 years, and we had a little boy, Ian. And then moved back to the East Coast where I was stationed at the headquarters of the Marine Corps. And then we had Philip, and then I was reassigned to the Pentagon to the Joint Staff, and we had Eric. And so our suburban's filling up at that point. The problem was because we are interrelated, I would try to compartmentalize the Marine Corps from being a husband and a father. But I've learned that those leadership lessons they cross, you know, it's not stovepiped. They should cross into all areas of your life. And I had a friend share a story. I'll boil it down very quickly. There was a teacher. He had been done teaching for the day. This was around the time when Rome was occupying and was the world power. And this teacher, as the students had gone back to their villages, and he's got a few moments to quiet. He's walking back home, kind of contemplating the day and what had happened. And he gets to a fork in the road. He's lost in thought. Instead of going to the left to his village, he goes right. Twilight's approaching. He's never been down this road before. All of a sudden, he's stunned to hear this Roman sentry bark out at this fort. Who are you, and what are you doing here? He looks up and sees this fort he didn't even know existed. And he says, what? And the sentry challenges him again. Who are you, and what are you doing here? The teacher quickly collects himself and asks the sentry, how much are you paid a week to ask me these two questions? The sentry says, 3 denarii a week. Why do you ask? And the teacher says, I'll double your pay if you'll come stand outside my home and ask me those two questions each morning. Who are you, and what are you doing here? And when I heard that from a mentor along my faith journey tell that story, it really sunk in, and I recognized that I had never dealt with a foundational, what I consider foundational to leadership, and using a Marine Corps leadership principle entitled, Know Yourself and Seek Improvement. and in turn, you know, is turning in. I'm not talking about, you know, goofy kumbaya stuff here. I'm talking about, do you understand how you're wired? You know, oftentimes I've heard the strengths, weaknesses, the SWOT analysis, if you would. But I don't think a lot of folks have really taken time to do that. No, I hadn't. And it was a bit of a painful process to discover that I'd been blaming problems in marriages with Jenny, her parents, or Nora and her parents, and not accepting ownership as the leader of the home, that maybe I had some issues too. And that story, Who Are You, What Are You Doing Here, kind of started this process of analyzing and determining that I was driven by people's affirmation. I had a rack of medals, two rows of medals. I had some shiny rank, a lot of pats on the back. And a book that really helped Nora and me in our marriage was The Five Love Languages, written by Dr. Gary Chapman. And it finally made sense why those medals and those promotions and everything made sense, because my love language, according to Dr. Chapman's terms, are words of affirmation. And I had been not, Nora had been providing that to me and giving me the pats on the back and the compliments and so forth. But I hadn't been meeting her love language, which is quality time. She wanted me to spend time with her. I wasn't used to doing that. Acts of service, help her with children and diapers and vacuuming and dishes, yes. I've seen my dad do a good job of that growing up, but I wasn't really meeting her needs. And so it was part of that process of who are you, what are you doing here, recognizing, oh, that's how I'm wired to get those medals, those promotions, but there's a little bit of a trap that can go with it, because if that's how you start defining yourself as a Marine in dress blues with a bunch of medals, what's going to happen when your career ends? And my career was starting to end. My knee went out, had to have surgery.
And Danny, with that, we're going to go for a break. I like the who are you, okay. What are you doing here? And when we get back, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Danny White. We're going to talk about that as we bring this show to a close. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. Thanks for sticking with us. My guest is Danny White. And this has been a very interesting conversation that we've had. Danny is a retired Marine and really faced some challenging times with the loss of his wife, unborn child, and son. And yet remarried and has four additional children. Is that right, Danny?
Yes, we had six children.
Six children, as you say, you're filling up a Suburban real fast. But, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, two things in this last segment, the question, who are you and what are you doing here? And I think that is a profound question that really can apply to any of us. As we listen to the show here on the radio, the question you ask is who are we? And why are we here? What are we doing here? And I think it's fascinating. You were talking about The Five Love Languages, that book. My wife and I have both read that book. And I have to recommend it to a lot of people because certainly if you're willing to read through it, you learn a lot about yourself, but you learn about the other people in your life that are important. And I get the real distinct impression, Danny, that while you might have defined yourself as a Marine, you were not always going to do that job. And what would transcend your role as a Marine outside of retirement is your wife and children. And I think that there was a big question in your mind as to do you continue and re-up, so to speak, or go for the next promotion, or do you make a different choice? Tell us about that.
Okay, thank you. As I mentioned before the break, I'd been assigned to the Pentagon, and you start thinking pretty good thoughts about yourself. There was a pretty tight screening process. The Marine Corps had to approve me to go and represent them on the Joint Staff. It's all four branches of the military working for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and then the Joint Staff had to approve me. So it was kind of a double screening process, if you would, to be selected. And as I mentioned, you know, all those medals, another badge, you know, I'm on the top of my game. I'm wanting to get command of a Marine unit and then get that next promotion to full bird colonel and another medal. And then they found that with my knee, I'd messed it up running. I did some surgery, found out it was full of arthritis and there's no cartilage. And they said, well, let me help break you and help you understand this, Lieutenant Colonel White. You're too young for a knee replacement, so you're going to have to get out. Because I could not see myself telling my Marines to go run and I can't run. And that was pretty sobering. When you've been defining yourself by what you do, that who are you, what are you doing here, you start realizing I don't have very good answers to those questions. And as I mentioned, I defined myself by what I did. I was seeking approval from people that can be fickle. And in turn, there was a lot of figurative prisons that I was in as a leader and didn't understand those. And so started this process, the book, The Five Love Languages, saved my marriage. But it also helped me discover who I was. Why did those medals, why those promotions, why do they mean so much? And if I can share one quick story, we were doing a parade for retiring Marines when I was a lieutenant at Quantico. And I saw this picture. The Marine would be called up, his family, and they would read his retirement orders, give him a medal, give him a flag, and he'd go sit back down with his family. Well, one Marine was standing there by himself. And I'll never forget how lonely that picture looked. This was 1991. And I thought, well, I hope my family will be there when I retire. But the path I was on, I might could have made, taken enough pain meds and gone ahead and done the running, got in command, gotten promoted, got another medal. But I think with what I was putting my wife and children through, they would not have been there when I went to retire. And when they were standing there in June of 2012, I said, that beats a promotion, that beats another medal. I'm grateful because this is what really matters. Because those medals are somewhere packed up in a box. I'm not even sure where they are right now. And it's been freeing, if you would, to not define myself that way. And I hope others will take time to think about that and sense and realize that same freedom in their own lives.
You know, Danny, it's interesting that you use the word prison. Of course, for those who listen to me, you know that I have literally been to prison. But prisons in people's lives don't always come with steel bars. I was talking with a dear friend who has never literally been to prison, but said that she felt that her journey was to help free people from prison. And I raised the question to her. I said, are you talking about the literal prison or the prisons that often we find ourselves in by the choices that we make? And in that conversation, it was more about the prisons that we find ourselves in by our own choices rather than the prisons that we are or could be forced to go in because we've literally broken the law. And I think that's the kind of prison you're talking about.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Now, Danny, I know that this has been a fascinating discussion and a fascinating interview, but you wrote a book called A Widower's Walk. And I know that you speak around the country. In fact, there are a lot of groups that are very much interested in having someone with a military background be able to come to talk. But yet what you bring is a real life story, not only about the service that I know you're proud of, but also of making choices that you're also proud of that have preserved a heritage for you. Tell us a little bit about the book and where they can get that.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. I'll actually show up, if you don't mind, I'll show a photo here.
Absolutely.
On the webcam. That's what the cover looks like. My website is the name of my company, www.leadwithliberty.com. That's LEADWITHLIBERTY.com. And you can order the book that way. I'd be happy to send you a copy of it. It is, in essence, it's an expansion of what Chuck and I've talked about today. There's some thoughts from Nora. What was it like to marry a widower? What were her thoughts as we went through our struggles in our marriage? So there's different layers to the book, as well as some of her poems that she wrote when our children were born, when we faced a couple of miscarriages, and then when we were going through some tough times in our marriage. So if you like poetry, that's something as well. But it was about a probably one of my bucket list things to do. I wanted to write this book, and so my children would know. Look, this is how people helped us out when we couldn't help ourselves, and is also to keep Jenny's memory alive and to encourage people, because life is tough, and we all will face challenges.
Danny, you are right. Life can be tough, and I want to thank you for your transparency. It's difficult to face what you face, and that's probably a minor understatement, but Danny, you have been very transparent about that, and I believe here on Straight Talk Radio, that transparency is what makes this transformation possible and why we're on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. You posed a question: who are we and why are we here? And Danny, I think those are two very profound questions. I would encourage people to go to leadwithliberty.com, leadwithliberty.com, pick up a copy of Danny's book. But most important, if you're looking for someone to present or speak to your group, consider Danny as a top candidate because he brings authenticity. And Danny, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on Straight Talk Radio. I appreciate it ever so much.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Well, it's an honor to have you, sir. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your service to our country. But most important, thank you for your transparency and your willingness to help us see perhaps past some of the affirmations to what could be important in life. This is Chuck Gallagher. It's Straight Talk Radio. And remember, every choice has a consequence. Stay tuned for next week's show. And we are so thrilled that you're willing to join us here on the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.